a little bit of a quick announcement for you. If you have some kids that you'd like to send to kids' church this morning, it is now open. So feel free to, my wife is patiently waiting for them, so you might as well send on down the drones. She's ready. As you guys are transitioning, I think we all are hyper aware of where things are, especially if you are a teacher. The end of the school year is glorious for the kids and an absolute nightmare for all you teachers out there. And I am very thankful for all you teachers and all that you do, because these kids lack motivation at the end of the year, don't they? When I was a kid, when it came to the end of the school year, we had something we always had to look forward to, and it wasn't summer yet. We had this big thing where it was a rec day outside, and we all were going to get some sort of ribbon that we participated, the participation ribbon. I love those, because you're a winner no matter what, right? And so this was one of those things that I look forward to. And if you didn't do good all the way up until then, you didn't get to participate. And if you didn't get to participate, you don't get a participation ribbon. Every kid wanted that ribbon. So we were all pretty good by the end of the year. It was probably a two-month thing for our teachers to be thankful that we kids would just believe anything. Now, we don't care about ribbons anymore, do we? We want the real deal or nothing at all. And so what I see is from about mid-March until here about a week from now is my wife's hair gets a little bit grayer. And I've seen her for 15 years watch it each year get a little bit heavier. Any teachers in here, raise your hand. Teachers, principals, anything? Yeah, stressed out, right? Just be honest. You can sit there and say, no, this is easy. No, it's not. It's not easy at all. Because these kids have lost the motivation. They don't know how to finish strong. Spring break says we're done. Now we're just going to hang out for a few hours every day. That's where you're at. And sometimes, somewhere in our lives, we all need motivation. Sometimes it's as simple as needing a nudge in the right direction, a word of encouragement, a reminder of what lies ahead if we stay on task. And so the last couple weeks here, we have been looking at this book of Haggai and what we have discovered about the Israelites, and it really has a direct implication on our own lives, is this, that God did not ransom us, free us, and liberate us so that we could build ourselves up. He did it so that we would be a people who would desire to praise his name. Now, it is not wrong for us to enjoy this life that we have been given, no. But spending our lives focused upon ourselves so much that we forget to worship the one who gave us this life, that takes away the penalty of death. That takes away what this life is worth living for. When we forget how to do that and live for his mission, well, then we're missing the point of what it means to be truly fulfilled. If you remember, the people here in Jerusalem, they've gone back home, and it says that they had been working and planting and drinking, and they were earning good wages again, and yet they were never satisfied. And it was directly linked to this idea that they just kind of forgot to worship God. And so God sends Haggai along to encourage them, and he basically is telling them this: get back to work. Get back to finishing the building of this temple. God's not done yet. He has so much more in store for you, because when you have a temple, then you want to go to worship. And when you're at worship, then you're going to praise my name. And that's what I want. So for 16 years, they had stopped. And they were all about themselves. Last week, Haggai comes into the picture and he says to them, this is from God, you're not alone. God wants me to tell you, he has never left you. He is with you through all of this. He has never forsaken you. And if you remember last week, they responded in the best possible way. They actually got fired up about God's word. And then they repented. And then they decided to go after it again. You see, chasing after the Lord in obedience and working for him, that brings him glory. They were not just a people of words, if you remember. They repented, and then they followed through with their hands. And they got back to work. So 16 years, this temple foundation kind of just lays dormant. It's not even done itself. But they go back to building into it, and that's where we're going to pick up today. Because just in a few weeks from this moment, they're pumped up, they're excited, this mountaintop experience with God once again, and all of a sudden they find themselves, they finish this foundation, they actually start to celebrate, walls are starting to go up, and then it appears something kind of stops them again. As we look at this today, we're going to see that Haggai is brought back in, Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. We're going to begin to see where Haggai comes back into the picture to spur them on. Not another 16 years of waiting. God wants to get this under control now so that in their obedience, they're going to be able to see what he can do. He wants to let them know, look, guys, I told you I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And it appears that you have forgotten. It appears that you have lost what my presence actually feels like in your life. So I'm going to show myself to you in a couple different ways. So this morning we're first going to read through this great chapter. And then we're going to go and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to bless our time together. So starting in chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came in the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who was left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it nothing in your eyes? Yet be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I'm with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord of hosts to join us then. Father God, we thank you for today, the opportunity to be in your word. Lord, I'm thankful for your presence to be among us. And I just ask, Lord, where it feels depleted, I believe, Lord, that you are there. Where it feels lacking, I believe you're there. Lord, help us connect to your spirit. Help us to see your ways. Help us to be a people of obedience and to come after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this has just been a few weeks, okay, since the first time Haggai has come into the picture and he's spoken these words to the people. And while the people had seemingly began to get back after it and they're excited again through the work of the temple, they're still struggling to follow through. And it's interesting because I look at my own faith. You ever do that in your own faith? You ever come to a place where you get motivated maybe by service or a sermon or maybe the Bible's motivating you, but just as it's starting to really move in your life from time to time, you deal with some pushback, or maybe you deal with a little bit of chaos, and maybe you were fired up, but quickly this joy, and all too often this happens, this joy starts to crumble once again. So in this section, what God is going to say through Haggai to his people, through this section, what God is going to say to us is very simply this: my spirit is with you. My spirit is with you. My presence, it's very, very real. See, God affirmed his presence to the people of Israel from the beginning to end in several different ways. And today he continues to do it. So through various means he has done these things, but we're going to look at a couple of those ways today. And the first way we see that God affirms his presence is through motivation. God affirms his presence through motivation. Now I want to point out that we begin taking note that the Feast of the Tabernacles is taking place. This is a big feast in Jerusalem. God instituted this feast after their freedom from Egypt. This is a commemoration feast of God's leading them through the wilderness and all those years all the way through into the promised land. And this would be a time that they are traveling into Jerusalem. There would be hundreds of thousands of people coming in to celebrate. Now remember, this is the first time that we see that the temple is really starting to come together. So people are coming from miles around. They're excited to celebrate what God's doing. This should be a time of great celebration. And yet again, it seems like they're starting to lose a little bit of that steam. So once again, God sends Haggai. And essentially, it's this question that's being asked. What has robbed your joy so quickly? What's taken you back again? You were so pumped. I mean, these people were excited. Now, it's easy as people who read through Scripture to focus in on the Israelites and all of their failures. It's easy to do that, but let's take a moment and focus on ourselves for just a moment. Now, I want you to think through this with me. Can that happen to us? Can you find yourselves in the midst of God doing some amazing things, maybe in your life, maybe in the life of someone else, maybe even in another church, maybe it's your church, who knows, but God is in the midst of doing some amazing things, and your obedience to God, it's looking good, and His promises seem so real, they seem like they're right in front of you, but somehow, discouragement weaves its way back in to your life again. Does that happen? You bet it does. In the midst of what should be an exciting time in your life, you can't shake this being down. Maybe in this time, you begin to question if pursuing God is even worth it. Can that happen? You bet it can. In these first five verses, God motivated the nation of Israel by defining their problem, encouraging hope so that they can transform and really experience His presence in their lives. So the first thing He does is He defines the problem. If you look at verse 3, who was left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it as nothing to your eyes? I mean, guys, we're just a few weeks back into this building of the temple. And it slowed down again. And what actually is going on isn't as defined as you would hope it would be. You actually have to turn to Ezra chapter 3 to kind of see what's going on in this rebuilding of the temple. And so we're going to look at verses 10 through 13 of Ezra chapter 3 real quick to find out what this discord was all about. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the directions of King David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted. They shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord, it's laid. They're excited. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had been seen first in the house, or first seen the house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid. Though many shouted for joy, so the people could not distinguish the sound of joyful shout from the sound of people weeping. For the people shouted with great shouts, and the sound was even heard from far away. So you have here, really what it is two generations of people. One celebrating the response and the rebuilding process, and the other is weeping because it looks nothing like it used to, and it's failing in comparison to what they once had witnessed with their own eyes in the past. One is shouting for joy, and one is weeping. No one around them could tell, it says, if they were happy or if they were sad. So this is why God sends Haggai back into their life to uplift their spirits. And He shows them the problem. They're allowing too much to be dictated on what they cannot see. And what that simply means is this. They are so focused on their past and what they remember what it looked like that they could not see what God could do. They were so hyper-focused on, man, this foundation, okay, it's all right. But I remember back in the day in Solomon's temple, and that was amazing. This isn't amazing. And so they begin to return to this behavior of bickering, returning to a behavior of ignoring. It's the same thing that happened before, a little bit of pushback, a little bit of opposition. They're already tossing in the towel. They're moving back to a place of disobedience. And it's not just disobedience, they're moving to a place where they've quit worshiping God again. And God's telling them, look, I'm not waiting for another 16 years for you to figure this out. Look, what you see is the immediate. You need to get excited about this immediate, because all you think in your head is this is nothing compared to what it used to be. And God is saying, look, quit bickering among yourselves. Is that what's better? Do you not trust I can do much with what you think is a heap? See, their problem was in their failure to honor God with their actions. So God tells them through Haggai, be strong. Be strong. He tells it to Zerubbabel. He tells it to Joshua. He tells it to all the people who could hear. He says, be strong because of this. I want you to work because of this. For I am with you. Don't you remember the covenant I set before you? Don't you remember when I pulled you out of Egypt? Don't you remember your slavery and what I saved you from? And he pours hope into their situation before it gets out of control, before it becomes another 16 years of no progress. And he reminds you, I'm with you. My grace is enough to carry you. That's why you keep pushing. That's why you keep working. Repent, be obedient. Keep working. Repent. Be obedient. Keep working. And in the process, as you continue to repent, and as you continue in your obedience, as you continue working, you're going to start to notice my presence is actually there in your midst like you didn't think it was. But their bitterness was keeping them from seeing him. He reminds them of that covenant. The coming out of Egypt, he tells them, do you not remember what I saved you from? You've got nothing to fear. I mean, this freedom from slavery for the Jews out of Egypt, it was no work of mankind. It clearly was miraculous. No man parts the Red Sea. No man clears the way for the waters for people to walk back through. No man can do that. Only the maker of heaven and earth that can control environments, that can control weather. That's the man that can do that. Now, I don't know about any of you, but it's hard to not look back at the past, am I right? I don't care how old you are. Even teenagers do this. I've heard it. It is hard not to look back at the past. I do it a lot. You know what I'm about? Vinyl records. I love the sound of vinyl. I do. You know what I'm about? Old math. Preach. Why does it take? There is no worse time in my life than when my son comes home with math homework. Man, I can see it now. My blood starts to boil. And somehow we come to the same answer, but his took 2.5 hours longer than mine. You know what I'm about? 80s music. You know what I did for my 45th birthday on Thursday? I went and saw Loverboy in concert. Oh, man, it was good. They're still good. They look old, but they were good. And you know what happened is I found myself reminiscing. I thought back to that 8-track player. And I wore that 8-track out. You know what? For those of you who know what an 8-track player is, raise your hand. That's what I'm talking about. You slam that sucker in there and you hit a button. And it might be halfway through the song. You just accept it. You're like, that's good enough. I love this half. Am I right? I'm like this today. I find myself, and I swore I'd never do this, but this is what I do. It's hard to let some of this go. I listen to music today and I say, this just happened the other day. That's not music. That's not country. That's not rock and roll. I mean, we all do this if we're going to be real honest with ourselves. But what happens is when it stops moving us forward, when it stops allowing us to see things before us that could actually be better, when it stops allowing us to see God's plans, then we start to fail in his mission. Many times more than I can count, his plans stretch me every time I go after him. They make me uncomfortable. And this is exactly what's taking place in Haggai. The people are facing the temptation to neglect the promises of what could come. All they kept thinking about was, Man, you young people don't even understand. Solomon's temple was big and it was beautiful and there was gold everywhere. This is rock. Really? That's as good as it's going to be? No, this isn't good. However, I love this word, but. I love this word when it pertains to God. Because for everything I want to complain about, God can come in and say, but. But God doesn't just say, trust me, does he? He doesn't just say, trust me, and then walk away and expect them to have to wait for hundreds of years. What he does is he implores hope immediately. He affirms his presence even more. And the last way that we see God affirm his presence in this passage is through provision. God affirms his passage through provision. If it's not enough God telling them that he has their back, if it's not enough that he reminds them of the Egypt covenant, if it's not enough that he is with them and that there is nothing to fear, if that's not enough, listen to what he says. This is the Lord speaking. Yet once more, and in a little while, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I'm going to shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. You know what he just told them? This temple that you're building, this scrap heap that you see, now, I've got plans for this thing. And it's going to take Solomon's temple that you remember, and it's going to make Solomon's temple look insignificant. Like scrap compared to what I have in plan and in store for this. So don't trust in your physical circumstances. Look, didn't I promise you I'd lead you out of slavery? Didn't I? And I promise you this. Keep working. And what you can't see right now is going to happen. And it's going to be bigger and grander than anything you've ever thought of. The shaking here is mentioned. It's a rather colorful way of describing the fact that God is over every created thing. It was a reminder to the nation of Israel that his word was to be obeyed. But it's also a reminder that he provides everything they would ever need for him, for them to accomplish for him. And it's a big lesson they needed to learn. God has told them that they lack in having because they're lacking in obedience. God tells them in verses 7 and 8 that they will have more than enough because it's his anyway. Right? I would say that's more than enough. So what do we take away 2,600 years later? How does this apply to us? One thing is inevitable, is discouragement will happen. Amen? It is going to happen, and if you haven't experienced discouragement, wake up, it's coming. And maybe you're living in it right now. We're not exempt from it. And when those days come, how will you deal with discouragement? We will look to the promises of God in those days is my hope, but is that the way you think? Will you hold tightly to his promises? Will you take your eyes off the physical circumstances and look to him to keep you going? Let me tell you, it's not always easy. Every time I think we make a little groundwork and something to deal with our family, it feels like we go 500 steps backwards. And the only thing that has sustained me and kept me from going absolutely crazy is reminding myself that if he defeated death, well, he most certainly can carry me through this. He has not saved us so that we would live a life building into our own kingdom. He has not saved us so that when we face discouragement, we just kind of put it in neutral for the rest of our lives. Right? That's not what he saved us for. He has saved us for the hope of the glory that is his. And he's calling us to move forward. He's calling us to move forward as individuals, as his children, as a church, to move forward in obedience. He's called us to move forward in trusting him. He's called us to move forward in believing the promises that he will fulfill. And you know, you want to know what happened? You want to know what went down? Because a lot of people think to themselves, I wonder what happened at the end of the story. This is really cool too. If you go to Ezra chapter 6 and look at verses 8 and 9, you're going to discover how God made this happen for him. King Darius makes this decree. He says, moreover, I make a decree regarding what you will do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of this house of God. Remember, it was a heap now. Okay? The cost of this, it's going to be paid to these men in full without delay from our royal revenue. The tribute of the province from beyond the river. And whatever is needed, bulls, rams, sheep for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests at Jerusalem require, let that be given to them day by day and without fail. Not only would God provide the resources necessary, but he did it without costing Israel anything. He says, you know what kind of God I am? I'm going to make this promise, and you're not even have to put in your own shekels. It's about me. I got this. Don't you trust me? Here's what I need from you, Israel. Be obedient. Keep building. Keep worshiping me. I'm going to provide you with more than enough means. And this is where we close it today. This is an important lesson for all of you sitting in this room today. Often we struggle. Anybody here ever dealt with struggle? And if your hand's not up, liar, liar, pants on fire. See, we deal with struggle. And yet somehow, we're still called to obedience. And he continues to provide. And even in our disobedience, he continues to provide. We just have a hard time seeing it. God's always enough, my friends. He is always enough. Always, always enough. I cannot stress that enough to you. There are a lot of things on this earth that I love. There are a lot of things on this earth that I love. And somehow he's still enough. So I'm just going to ask you to do two things this morning. It's very simple. We're going to close with a time of prayer and then we'll go into our worship time. But I want you to take a moment just to thank God. Even if your circumstances are kind of raw and nasty right now. Thank him. Because he's bigger than those things, and he rescues you out of those things. Be obedient and worship him anyway. And then if you are someone here who has just been graced with mercy over and over and over and over, pour that into somebody who needs it, please. I'm asking you to do that. People need to hear that. Don't act like you don't know what's going on in each other's lives. We got Facebook. We know what's going on. Love on somebody. Share with them how God helped you through a situation. Use it. Be obedient. With that being said, let's just go to a time of prayer and then we're just going to worship this King.
Us when we are an unlovable people. I'm so thankful that you're ever present with us. And Lord, I just want to ask for your forgiveness for me not trusting you when I should the most. Lord, I just want to repent of that right now. Lord, help us to free ourselves from the slavery of fear. Help us to be a people that come after you regardless of whatever storm we're facing. And may may the God of glory receive all the praise that he is due. And God's children said,